today as we come to the table.
I think depending on what you do and who you are, the accountability level is different and higher. But the issue here he's not talking about is really being total abstinent or not. He's saying, look, listen, men of the church, be sober. Be sober. Make sure that when you need to minister for the Lord, you can. Make sure that your thought process is not impeded. Make sure that you're walking with the Lord in that sober mind that can minister to God and to others when it's necessary. The Bible says, as you know, that drunkenness is a sin. And secondly, that drunkenness causes bad judgment and sinful living. So again, because this was a huge issue there on Crete, again, the same thing. What did he do? He said, hey, just, you know, guys, guard yourself.
Why is it so important that Christians to be sober-minded? God made alcohol, didn't he? Wouldn't he want us to have a little fun? Well, your mind is an important tool, and God doesn't want you to give yourself over to things that can alter your thinking and your judgment. Drinking can greatly affect both of those. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Pastor Mark teaches today that you should treat your body like a temple of the Holy Spirit, and that treatment begins with your mind. Part of being sober-minded means that you're always ready to do the work of ministry when duty calls. It's not a 9-to-5 kind of job. It's a lifelong and never-ending commission. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Titus, chapter 2, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Everybody pray. Let's bow our heads. Father, I just pray right now for whoever this is for, and I don't know why you interrupted this. I believe you did. I'm not going to pull the "oh, I heard from God" thing and try to sound spiritual, because it may just be me. But God, you sent me off on a tangent. I was not thinking about it at all. It's not in my notes. It's nothing to do with much of anything other than someone here I think you love. Maybe listening by radio, maybe watching on the internet, but maybe in this very room. And if that's you right now and God is convicting your heart, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. And I give my life to you. And Lord, I pray now you would fill that empty place in my heart that I've been trying to fill with all the stuff of the world that's been failing. And that you would now, Lord, fill me with you that I might know your joy and your peace forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's get back to where we are. We haven't even started. But we kind of have. Now, where Paul's going to go, and I want to be, you know, direct on this because of kind of getting sidetracked there, but I'll trust the Lord in that. And that is, Paul's going to be breaking this up into three major categories in five different groups over the next 2 or 3 weeks, okay? Today, all we're going to see is men. He's going to look at men older and younger. He's going to look at women older and younger. And he's going to look at employees or servants is what he's going to say. But today, the application will be employees. All we're going to get to today is older men. If we get to that, which we are, because we're going to start right now. But look what it says here. The first thing, even before he gets to the older man, he speaks generally to the body of Christ. Chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine." Now this, "but as for you," I have that underlined. It is emphasized in the Greek. It's what's called an emphatic in the Greek language. Now I don't say that to impress you because there shouldn't be anything impressive in that. I simply look it up like you can do as well. But it says it's emphatic in the Greek, and what that means is it's as if you're reading your Bible and this all of a sudden gets louder and bigger. All right? I'll give you an example. Let's say we read like verse 16 of chapter 1. I'll show you what this is saying in the Greek. He says, "They profess to know him, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every work. But as for you," wow, right? "But as for you," notice the contrast, "speak these things that are for proper and sound doctrine." What he's saying is, here's how the world conducts themselves. Here's how these false teachers in chapter 1 conduct themselves. Here's how false teaching manifests. Here's how the Cretans live. Here's how people, but you, you're my bride. You're my church. You're not to be like them. You're to be what? Different. and or what we would say literally, holy. You're to be holy, set apart, different than everyone else, not like them. It's a contradiction to the world and the false teachers. And again, as Paul was dealing with this, he makes a very clear distinction in this. And notice first he says, as the body of Christ, here's the first thing. Here's how we're to be different. We're to speak and teach sound doctrine. Sound literally means in good health. Okay? Doctrine that's in good health. Doctrine means teaching. So Paul is saying this, we need sound teaching that is in good health. And if you want to be healthy physically, you need to exercise a little bit and eat the right things, right? Which I know we all probably fell in, or most of us in this room. But the same thing is true spiritually. If you want to be healthy spiritually as an individual and as the body of Christ, what do? You've got to eat healthy and you've got to, you know, work out, so to speak. That is, take the word of God in and live it out. Exercise your faith is the way that Paul puts it in another place. And so sound doctrine, sound teaching, teaching that has good healthiness to it, not just these guys that, again, you got to be very careful about what you just open yourself up to, especially on some of the Christian TV. But Paul says, make sure that it's healthy, make sure that it's sound, make sure that it lines up with the Word of God, because what we teach others about God and what we believe is extremely important, not just for ourselves, but what we teach others and what they believe, and then to the world as an example of the Lord. Of who he is. We need to understand. So many people will say things like, well, I don't believe God would do this. Well, I don't believe God would do that. It's not up to them to decide. God is who he is. God does what he does. Our job is to go to the Bible. See, our job is not to go to the Bible and prove that we're right. Well, I think that everybody goes to heaven. So I'm going to go to the Bible and find all these verses, and I'm going to do this, and I'll use that verse and pull this out of context, and this way everybody's going to heaven. No, we have to go to the Bible and say, God, what does your word say about who gets into heaven? And we look at verses like John 14:6, where Jesus said, no one goes to the Father except by me. Or Acts 4:12, where it says, there's no other name under heaven or earth by which a man can be saved. And so we don't try to get the Bible to bend to us. We have to bend and change and adapt to the Bible. And so it's for everybody's spiritual health around us, our own and the world around us. Why? Because again, not only was there false teaching in that day, but again, we make this application that Paul talks about in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 about the last days. And the context there is in the last days, the latter days before the Lord comes back. Notice what Paul says about this in writing to Pastor Timothy. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That is, those in the churches won't endure it. And what it means is they're not going to want to hear the Bible taught. They're not going to want to, you know, do something that's extensive in the Word of God and learning. But according to their own desires, in other words, they may go to church, but look at this, they want it the way they want it, as opposed to what God's desires are, according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, that is, tell me what I want to hear, not what the truth is or what I need to hear. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Listen, sadly, that's a lot of what I see. If I flip on and I ever go around, and I pretty much stay away from the Christian TV channels now, sadly. I'm not saying there isn't anybody good that's on there. I'm not saying that. But there's so many false teachers on there that are so clearly just making up stories and fables and fanciful things to try to get people to follow them and to send them money that's like, you don't even have time for it. That's what he's saying. People are going to want that, he says. They're going to want it more and more. Those in the church are going to desire that more and more as we get closer to the Lord's return. But Paul would say to Titus, don't you be that way. Don't let the church in Crete be that way. I would say that us here in Knoxville, don't let us be that way. Let's stay solid in doctrine. Let's stay solid in teaching. Let's know what the Word of God says so we can stay on track. And it's even more important, I think, now than it was in Paul's day, if that's possible, because now we're closer to the end. It's imperative that we not only teach sound doctrine, but that we stand on sound doctrine as well. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:13, he said, till I come, give attention to reading, exhortation, and to doctrine. He's talking about the Bible. What we're doing, reading, exhortation, doctrine, or teaching. Again, in 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed to yourselves and to the doctrine or the teaching. Continue on in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourselves and those who hear you. So solid doctrine taught and expounded to keep the church on target. Look at verse 2. So why do we have sound doctrine? Here's why. Now he speaks specifically to the older men, but that the older men, and I'll read all these and we'll look at them individually, that the older men may be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and in patience. So first of all, notice there are certain characteristics he's saying in behavior that should be expected in older men, and hopefully the years have taught us this. Again, Paul is not presenting perfection. He's not saying to those of us that are older, whether in the Lord or whether by age, that if you ever, ever, ever stumble, you're not a true Christian. He's saying you should be growing in these areas. So as you read these, older men and men in this room, this is to us today, we need to be growing in these areas. We need to be able to look back last year and say, have I changed any from last year to this year in these areas? And then next year, we need to say, have I changed any from that to this time or whatever? It's funny to see how sometimes you can't see yourself changing. And I hear you guys talk about how fast I talk. And I know that I do talk fast a lot of times. And I that's just part of my personality. But it was funny to hear my father-in-law a few years back, after we'd been here in Knoxville for a while, somebody asked him, they said, well, what's one of the biggest changes you've seen in Mark? You know, I don't know if it had to do with teaching or just in life. I think it was in the teaching or whatever. And he said, well, he sure has slowed down a lot. So I don't know what it used to be like, but God have mercy on all of you. First of all, notice this. He says, the first thing as an older man we need to be is to be sober. Now, I understand there's that whole mindset of being sober-minded, but this particular word, he's in context, he's referencing alcohol. Why? Because it was a drunk island. The Cretans were known for their drinking and their partying. They had Bacchus was the god of drinking in that day. They had all these different gods and goddesses and all these things, and they had a lot of revelry in the streets and debauchery and all this. And he's saying, so listen, as an older man in the Lord, you need to be sober. Again, he's not saying that, again, it wasn't forbidding they ever take a drink of anything. That wasn't the point. It wasn't like a zero tolerance alcohol thing. It was like, you need to make sure you stay sober, and you need to be sober. And again, the argument was back and forth about alcohol can a Christian. The Bible didn't forbid that. I know this as a pastor, I choose to stay totally away from it. Let me tell you my reasoning. Some would try to say, well, it's okay for a pastor. You can do that. I personally am convicted it's not okay for a pastor, but it's okay for you. But I'm personally convicted by what it says in another place that for a pastor it's not. But even if someone could convince me of that argument, and I've used this before, what happens if I have a couple of drinks of something and you guys need counsel? You're trying to find your pastor. You think I'm going to have a clear thought process to give you the answer that you need? How horrible it would be to show up and, you know, hey, can you go see my brother? He's in the hospital, just had emergency surgery. Sure, I'll go over there.
Hi, I'm Pastor Mark.
What are you, from Freedom in Christ Ministries? Where are you from? So I think depending on what you do and who you are, the accountability level is different and higher. But the issue here he's not talking about is really being total abstinent or not. He's saying, look, listen, men of the church, be sober. Be sober. Make sure that when you need to minister for the Lord, you can. Make sure that your thought process is not impeded. Make sure that you're walking with the Lord in that sober mind that can minister to God and to others when it's necessary. The Bible says, as you know, that drunkenness is a sin, and secondly, that drunkenness causes bad judgment and sinful living. So again, because this was a huge issue there on Crete, again, the same thing, what did he do? He said, hey, just, you know, guys, guard yourself. Remember, the Cretans are watching you. And if they see you walking around like that and they're doing the same thing, what's the difference in you and the world? What's the difference, right? That's the thing that bothered me about this whole movement where these different groups were going to drinking establishments to have their Bible study, and they're drinking during the Bible study. Look, maybe even technically, if you want to get technical on the Bible, maybe even technically, if all they had was a drink, they're not in sin. I'm not judging them on that. But what is it saying to the world? The world goes, oh, the church can drink it up, then I can too. You see, we have to remember, we are an example to the rest of the world around us. And again, I want to be, if you have your freedom in Christ to have a glass of wine, I'm not picking on you and I'm not judging you. And if I found out you were doing that, I wouldn't think you're horrible, okay? I don't want to take your freedom in Christ. That's not what my heart's about. But I'm saying, as the church, we have to be aware of how the world looks at us. We have to be aware of the example that we set for the world around us. And we need to make sure that we're being a good example for the Lord. So he says, okay, first of all, be sober. Secondly, we need to be reverent. What does it mean, reverent? It means honorable and respectable, which is how the older men should be. We should be men of honor and men of respect. And again, if we ever find ourselves where we've not been honorable or respect worthy, I mean, one of the battles I have is my tongue. And they say, you know, it's nice to have a quick wit. Well, it's not nice to have a quick wit if you can't control what wit you share and what wit you don't share. I heard one guy say it beautifully the other day. He said, you know what, God has put the tongue inside of a cage called a mouth. It's got teeth that block it down and walls around it, but it keeps getting out. All right? You probably didn't need that. That's probably an image you could forget for the rest of your life. And see, that's what I'm talking about. I do things I wish I didn't do. And there's one of them. If I could run it back, I probably wouldn't have done that, right? Lizard tongue probably wasn't appropriate at this particular moment. But the point is, it makes the point, and that is what he's saying is that if you do something like that that's not honorable and respectable, it's going to happen. But then say, God, forgive me of that. Help me out. It doesn't mean you can't have fun. Have fun. I like to laugh. I like to have fun. I like to laugh with you guys. It's fun to me. I think having a teaching and being able to laugh and interact, isn't that better than just sitting there going, oh my goodness, when's this done, right? You know, I've been there. You've been there too. So I think if you have that personality and God's given you that, use it. But at the same time, there has to be a level of control in there. And it's something that I've struggled with, like I said, in things I've said and done. Or other things. And when that happens, it's like you just feel so dishonorable and so disrespectful. Like, Lord, forgive me. I hope I didn't do anything that blemished you in any way. And if that happens, you just take it to the Lord. You ask forgiveness. You get it right and say, now, God, grow me in that area. Teach me the proper balance in that. And God will do that. We need to be honorable and more honorable and more respectable while yet having fun. Nothing wrong in lighthearted as we get older. He's not saying be dull and boring, but at the same time, understand how we're coming across and what we're doing. He says older men should be that way. Number two, or next actually, notice he says temperate. Temperate means sensible or self-controlled, able to curb desires and impulses. Now this is what we're about, able to curb desires and impulses. Listen, that is only done by the power of the Holy Spirit. So what Paul is saying is, he's not saying that you by your own strength as an older man should be able to curb those impulses, but you need to be able to recognize them and take them to the Lord so that he can curb them. You know, and I'll pray that. Lord, guard my tongue. Lord, guard my thoughts. Guard my mind. David wrote in the Psalms, guard my lips. Same thing as guard his tongue. Guard my lips. Don't let me say things that I shouldn't say. Help me to properly represent you, Lord, and to be able to have control of my emotions and to be able to all these things and all these things that we struggle with. There needs to be a growth in that, but he's saying take it to the Lord, confess it to the Lord, and you should be growing in that area. And if you're not growing, again, run to the Lord. Ask him to help you, but we need to be growing in temperance. Next, he says we need to be sound in faith. That is, it means literally mature and unshakable. Mature and unshakable. And I love this because as you're growing in the Lord, you should be maturing. But also this whole unshakable, that is the more you deal with life, the more stable you become when the trials come along. You know, as a new believer and the trial comes in your life, sometimes it can be this panic moment. It's like, why is it everything, that's gotta be cancer. Why does everything have to be cancer? Some things are not cancer. I just wanna announce that to you guys. Now, maybe that's just how my mind works. It's probably cancer. Stop it. It's never been cancer so far, and you're 56, all right? And if it is from this point on, then God will give you grace. Relax, right? But for some reason, we tend to think that way. We go to the panic. We go to the extreme. And God says, the older you get, you need to be more stable and trust the Lord. You shouldn't be freaking out. God said these things are going to happen in the last days. He's going to protect us. Is it possible a believer could die from some virus? Yes, it's happened historically throughout time. Anything can happen. I remember Greg Laurie talking about, I've shared this with you, so bear with me if you've heard it before, but it's such a great example. They're doing an outreach in Hawaii. He does these large outreaches and these crusades, and he's doing one in Hawaii. Pastor Chuck's with him, and all of a sudden a hurricane starts heading that way. And they're like, oh my goodness, it's like a major hurricane. And he said he panicked. He ran out and bought a bunch of hamburgers, brought them back, started throwing them in the fridge, doing all these things, getting ready for the hurricane. And he said he looked over there and Pastor Chuck was just kind of stirring some soup and just kind of smiling, And if you knew anything about Pastor Chuck, that's just who he was. He's like, aren't you concerned at all? He goes, Greg, relax. God's on the throne. God's in control. God knew we would be here when a hurricane came. Sometimes you think, how did I end up here when this is happening? Well, you think God didn't know that? You think God didn't know you'd be on the island when the hurricane came? Or you'd be in Wuhan, China when the outbreak happened? Do you think God didn't know that? God knew that. Everybody relax. He's on the throne. And that's the point he's saying. We should, as we get older in the Lord, there should be an unshakableness, a settledness going, the Lord's going to handle this. Notice the next thing, and I want to move quickly here. Sound in love. There's only two more. Sound in love, that means mature in love. As older men, we need to be growing in love is what he's saying. Not only do we need to be praying, God does this in our life, but we need to be asking God, praying to do it and then allowing God to do it. Look, it's one thing, we want to be men of prayer. And again, I know I'm focusing on the men. This applies to the women as well. But for the men, we need to be, again, we need to be asking God to help us to grow in the word and to grow in prayer. And I pray that on a regular basis. God, help me grow in the word and grow in prayer, to be a man of the word, to be a man of prayer. But seriously, I say most importantly, make me a man of love. People sometimes say, Pastor Mark, what can I pray for you about? I don't typically think to tell them this, but I'm going to try from now on because at the moment I'm like, I don't know, what is it? I've got like this hangnail, pray about that or something. You just whatever seems to be bothering you the most, you say. But here's what I really would like as a blanket prayer. If you ever do want to pray for me, pray that I be a man of love. Love is the key to everything. When it comes to delivering the word of God, when it comes to living the life, when it comes to sharing, if there's no love, what did Paul say? You're just a noisemaker. You're a clanging cymbal. It means nothing. So we need to be men of love. And so he's saying we should be growing in that love. And your love is something you have to grow in. You know, Peter, when he first repented to the Lord there at the Sea of Galilee, he said, Peter, do you love me? You know, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? You know, three times he did that. Again, you know in the language there, many of you do. There were different words that are used in the Greek. The first two times, Peter, do you agape me? That means, do you love me above yourself? Second time, Peter, do you agape me? That means, do you love me above yourself? The last time he said, Peter, do you phileo me? Which means, like, do you love me as a friend? See, he knew that he only loved Jesus as a friend. He knew that he wasn't yet to that self-denying love for Jesus. Here's one of the apostles. Been with the Lord 3 years, but he hadn't grown in love enough to say that he could put Jesus in front of himself. And how did he know it was true? The Lord knew it was true because he's the Lord. How did Peter know it was true? Because he had just denied him. So the Lord's restoring him back, saying, do you really love me more? You told me that night, though they all deny you, Lord, I won't. He said, now, it wasn't to torture him. It was to restore him and to make him face the truth. Peter, you do not love me the way you need to love me. But I love you the way you need to be loved, and you'll grow in that. So relax. Follow me. Keep your eyes focused on me. I will grow your love. And what Paul is saying here, Titus, grow in love. Tell the older men they need to grow in love, and that means they need to be praying, asking God to grow them in love. And lastly, you need to be sound in patience. And again, patience is a hard thing to come by. That old joke, if you pray for patience, you know, you're going to have to go through things that make you patient, which makes it seem harder. But it's the word here, hupomone. It's a word that means you hang on no matter what. You are not letting go. You're going to hang on no matter what. There's nothing can tear you loose. You know, again, it's the old picture of the police dog. They release him and he grabs the bad guy and he won't let go until they tell him to, right? I mean, they grab on, they're not letting go. Whether it's really you or your pant leg or whatever, they're not going to let go. That's what this word means. I'm not letting go. I'm locked in. This isn't moving, okay? So what he's saying is when it comes to patience, you need to lock in and hang on no matter what as an older man learning to wait on the Lord, being patient with your wife, patient with your children, patient with your employees or those you're working with, patient with those around you. Patience. And again, I could go into a bunch of examples on that, but I won't because of time. That's enough. These are the things I want to encourage you men today because we're running out of time. Take these things to the Lord. Say, God, make me this man. I want to grow to be this man. And God will begin to do that by the power of the Holy Spirit in your life if you ask him to do that. As I said, we'll get into, he talks about the young men. It gets into the women, the young women. We'll see how far we get into that. This week, it's more of just focusing on the husbands, the dads. And I think that's a great place because we're the ones that God's going to deal with first. As the leaders, God says, I'm going to deal with you first, husbands. I'm going to deal with you first, dads. So let's get our act together. And when I say get our act together, it's not what we do. God does it, but we submit to him and allow him to do it.
You've just heard Pastor Mark Kirk teaching from the book of Titus here on Come to the Table. Imagine traveling to a remote island where you tell people about Jesus because they've never heard of him before. Then, as God would allow, you become an influential leader to those who believe on that island. This was the case for Titus. He and the Apostle Paul journeyed to the island of Crete and reached out to the natives there. It turned out that Titus was commissioned by Paul to be the spiritual leader of these people. That might feel like a lot of responsibility, but Paul knew that Titus had the right heart and willingness to do it. You can be a Titus too. Your right heart and willingness to go where God leads may bring you to a place of helping others come to know Jesus who haven't heard of him before. What you hear and learn about in these teachings directly can apply to you if you're willing to take it in. If today's message had an impact on you, would you let us know by using our questions or comments link found on our website, thewaymedia.net? This is a good way for us to gauge how we can better serve you, our listeners. While you're there, stay a while. Feel free to check out other resources that we offer on our website. Come to the Table is a ministry out of Calvary, Knoxville. If you find yourself traveling through, staying in, or residing in Knoxville, Tennessee, we hope you'll come check us out at Calvary, Knoxville. We'd love to have you. Service times can be found at thewaymedia.net. Just scroll down and find the link to Calvary Knoxville. Well, that's all the time we have for today here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.